everybody. Thanks for joining us for the Successful Mind Podcast, where today David and I are going to have a discussion about the true meaning around the law of more life. And it means something that you might not think it means. So give it a listen and let us know what you think at the end. Thanks for joining us.
You're listening to the Successful Mind Podcast.
Successful people learn how to make their minds work for them.
We are Life Is Now, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast. How are you doing today, David?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More
I like
life.
I like these podcasts that more life. That's the topic today. Mm-hmm. So you talk about the law of more life a lot. It's it underlies pretty much everything that we teach. And I also think that there's a lot of people that misunderstand and misinterpret the law of more life, meaning more of something.
Yeah, most of our world.
Most of our world. And a lot of people teach incorrectly around the law of more life
Right? They do.
So I want to put this. So first of all, okay, I got to kind of plan in my head is how I want this to roll. So first, for people who are listening to this, can you just define what is the law of more life?
Yeah, the law of more life is basically the intelligence that operates behind everything that keeps life moving in a forward direction. I'm not going to break that down because we're going to get into that. But just think about the intelligence that's in the universe. What it's constantly doing is it's always moving life forward. And most people never really think about that. And as I was studying back in the early days, where I came across the term was in The Science of Getting Rich, Wallace Waddles, The Science of Getting Rich. He talks about it in there a lot. And the thing is, one of the cool things about Waddles was that he took the idea of God, spirit, universe, nature. He explains it with different terms to try to meet all the people that have a narrative in their mind. Because some people might believe in nature or just the spirit of evolution and not God. So he tries to come from all different perspective so that everybody understands. If you're looking at just from a nature perspective, all nature is in a constant movement forward. It has cycles, but the cycles present an illusion that there's actually death. The human cycle presents an illusion that there's death. The energy is always moving forward and it's always moving toward more life. So that's the idea behind it.
But more life doesn't necessarily mean more.
That's right.
And a lot of people hear more life and they hear more.
Yep.
So in terms of business, you know, I'm on social media. I'm pretty active on social media. I check my accounts. I, you know, manage my own stuff. And I see all kinds of ads, all kinds of sponsorships. And the big push out there right now is scale. Everyone's pushing scale. You've got to scale your business. And there are many times where we've taught, if your business isn't growing, it's dying.
That's right.
But I also think a lot of people misinterpret that as well. They think if your business is growing, that means your business must scale. It must keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. That's actually not what that means.
Not at all.
And I think what happens is business owners get this idea in their mind that so they lose touch with why they got into business to begin with. They lose touch with what their purpose is. And they focus on building this giant business because that's what they think they need to do in order to be successful, which is actually not true in any way, shape, or form.
Nope.
Unless that's what you actually want to do and you're building for a reason. I want to build this business to this point. And at this point, I'm going to sell it. And, you know, I'm going to take that money. I'm going to do something. Like, it's all based on your purpose and your vision, right?
But the way you're explaining it can become extremely compulsive.
It can be compulsive and also detrimental.
Yes.
There's lots of businesses that they think that in order for them to be successful, and it's also very ego-driven, let's be honest.
100% ego-driven.
To be successful, they need to grow and scale their business. But what happens is they don't take the time to do the best with what they have. They scale too soon and it all comes crumbling down.
Yeah, because it's about who's got the bigger one, right? Who's making more money? I got to beat the competition. I think that it's kind of an epidemic in the way that the world thinks. If you think about, well, I shouldn't say the whole world, but in like, if you think about the United States, even the idea is constantly, let's get people living longer, living longer, living longer, instead about the quality of life that they have while they are alive, you know, and what the hell is the use of living longer if you're sick and you're broke and you're not enjoying anything just to be able to live longer?
Yeah. Is that really the goal, to live longer?
Yeah, like, I don't think it is. Like, I wouldn't want that. I want quality life. I want to be able to enjoy what I have, yes, right? So I want it to be better, not.
And that's the key, right? Mm-hmm. So more life can mean better. So
explain that.
So, okay, you have a business. You've got it set up. You've bootstrapped it from the ground up, right? You got into business because you love the thing that you do. And you have in your mind that you need to have more. You need to have more clients. You need to have more money. You need to have more team. But you haven't bettered anything before that.
Right.
So instead of more, why not switch to better? I want, now that I've got my business at a level, I want better clients. I want to focus on how I can do better with those clients so that they stay, so I don't have to go out and constantly find more clients. I want to work with better clients so that I actually enjoy the people that I work with.
Absolutely.
I don't want more team. I want a better team, because let's be honest, a better team can do the work of more team generally any day in a small business. Right? People don't understand that a handful of A players can do the work of 20 B and C players and save the company money at the same time. But what happens is, because they don't realize they're not bettering what they're doing in the area of team, they're just actually creating more problems and more headache and more tension and more anxiety.
Exactly.
And more stress.
Right.
And more debt, rather than focusing on maybe growth, maybe more life, is you spending some time in these areas and getting better. And I've got a great example of this of one of our clients. So we've got a fantastic private client. She runs a fantastic law firm. When she started working with us, her team, she had a team and she was feeling unsupported. And in coaching with us, we realized that every single one of her team members, none of them were A players, save like one. Okay. One was an A player. And what would happen is her business would grow a little bit and her team would break down. She'd have team leave. She'd have all kinds of like cancer going on in the background, back channeling, everything. She wanted to grow and scale, but she hadn't bettered herself as a leader yet. She didn't understand how to be a better team manager. She didn't understand how to have a better vision. She didn't understand how to communicate better with her team. And it was causing all kinds of problems. So her trying to scale without growing in the better area in those areas of her business actually caused a whole lot of problems for her. So we dialed it back and we rebuilt her team from the ground up. Now her team runs pretty much autonomously. She's got all A players. She's clear on her vision. She understands how to communicate with them. And now she's poised to really grow her business if that's what she wants, because she didn't see that she needed more of something. We really showed her that she needed to be better in these areas first.
Yeah.
And I want to be clear, better is not connected to you feeling good enough to do these things. It just means you're building a skill set that you didn't have before.
Right. You want to hear, so there's somebody who's extraordinarily successful that has had this philosophy basically from the beginning, and what he's done with it has been extraordinary. Rogan, Joe Rogan.
Oh, talk his about whole, that.
So he's talked about this a lot. So Joe Rogan basically has one partner, that's Jamie, who does what BT does, right?
Yes.
And he has a manager because, you know, he was on television. So he has that, but basically he doesn't have this monster team that he's building, and he still has the number one podcast in the world. And what he focuses on is getting better and better and better at doing these interviews with people. And he's the best in the business, you know, and that his philosophy was not about growing his staff and doing more of this and more of that. It was about how do I take this core skill set and just get better at doing that with people and having better interviews, better people come on to, you know, for the interviews. And he's done extraordinary with that philosophy.
Yeah, I really think that it's just a common misconception where people hear, if you're not growing, you're dying.
Yeah.
So they think growth equals more team, growth equals more clients, growth equals, you know, more investment, growth
even more money.
Growth equals more money. And it's just not true. It can be, if that's what you want,
right.
If you're in the area where that's what you're poised for. But, you know, it's interesting because I was thinking about this morning because I was doing my like stare off into space in the morning thing that I do in
right,
the morning.
Right.
I was like milling this in my mind. And I was thinking about the story that you used to tell about the forklift and the three things that you changed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the three things that you changed was to give your best to everything that you
yes.
did. Right. And in giving your best to everything that you did, you became aware of more opportunities to then do your best.
Correct.
Right. Nothing was forced per se. It
Nothing.
Was just, I'm going to focus where I am right now and I'm going to do my best here. There are a lot of people in business, especially in the service-based business, a consultancy business, where there's this like clawing and scratching for new leads and new clients. But if they would just take the time to create a better experience for their current clients, they wouldn't have to claw and scratch to get tons and tons of new clients. If they were worried about their client success and their client happiness and creating and giving value based upon what they'd promised, their churn rate would be less than 1%.
Mm-hmm.
But some of these agencies have a churn rate of 5 to 10%, sometimes even 15 to 20%, which means they need to find new leads to continue to feed this beast that they've created that they thought that they needed because that equaled more life. And now they're trapped. Now they're like, oh God, I have this beast I have to keep feeding.
Yes.
Right? And
it's
all based in a misunderstanding and a misconception of what more is.
And so now they're working for the business instead of the business working for them.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. There's a really great book. I'm not all the way through it yet.
Okay.
So I'm not all the way through it yet. It's a really great book. It's by Paul Jarvis and it's called A Company of One. I know I've talked to you about it. You're in the process of reading it. It really goes through this. I got it because it was recommended to me by someone who was in a place of kind of rediscovering what she wanted to do with her business. She's highly, highly talented. She'd had a large business before and she's got three small young children. And it was really, her business was really getting in the way of her values and what she wanted for her life. And so she was reading this book and having this conversation with me of like, I want to create my business based around what I want my life to look like. I don't want to create this business based on what I think I should do. I want to create this business based upon what I want my life to be like, because she would find herself chasing business, chasing money, not focused on the things that she really valued in her life. She was still in her purpose. She's very, very good at what she does.
Right.
And I got to be honest with you, I've had this book for like 9 months and not read it. So it just floated to the top and I picked it up. And the main premise of it is, how can we take the concept of more life and look at what we can be doing better? And the better is the growth.
Mm-hmm.
And the better is what brings more opportunities and more happiness and more fulfillment in our lives.
Yeah.
And I really jived with it. It makes a lot of sense. And we see this, you know, we have people that will come to like our one day intensives and they've built this really successful business, but they're doing all the things in the business and they're completely just trashed. And they're not in love with what they're doing. They're doing it because they think that they still have to do it. And we really have to sit down and like throw everything on the table and re-engineer everything so that they can actually have the life that they want to live with this business, because it just got out of hand. They just got focused on more.
All right.
Are you an established business owner sick and tired of scratching and clawing your way to the next level of success? Believe me, we've all been there. And we at Life Is Now want you to know that you're closer than you realize to achieving the quantum leap that you've been working so hard to get. This is why we asked some of the industry's best and brightest leaders to join us in our upcoming Business Momentum Summit. During these 2 days together, we'll share strategies and tools that are working right now to create massive success in your business. This free and fully virtual training event will take place on April 27th and 28th, where we'll be joined by top business growth experts such as Lisa Nichols, Angela Loria, Nick Kuzmich, and others. Each speaker plans to share the strategies and secrets that led to their business success. Some topics you can expect over the course of these value-packed 2 days are cultivating a winning mindset, how to use money to make more money, how to harness AI to reclaim your time and serve your clients at a higher level, how to use books to establish your platform, how to use LinkedIn to generate high-paying clients, Facebook ad secrets and strategies that save you money, how to create live events that catapult your business, and many more. For more information on how you can participate in this life-changing Business Momentum Summit, go to lifeisnowinc.com/momentum. That's lifeisnowinc.com/momentum. The Business Momentum Summit is about more than just making a few extra bucks. It's about pushing yourself to the next level and beyond. The speakers we've assembled will give you the strategies you need to make that happen. With the right mindset and the right tools, you too can achieve financial success and personal fulfillment. It's time to turn your six-figure year into six-figure months with the Business Momentum Summit. Go to lifeisnowinc.com/momentum and take full advantage of this amazing opportunity. And now, back to the show. We see this a lot,
Steph. We see it so much. So many people unhappy with their business.
And I know people that they won't say it, but
no.
But you know that they are because they talk to you. You could just tell that they're not happy with what they're doing.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that ego that you talked about is where that comes in there also, right? Their identity is so attached to the size of the business or that income, right? And that's all they talk about. You know, this is the number I'm at. This is how many millions I made this year. This is how many, it's like.
But yet they don't talk about how much profit they make.
Right.
That's the big difference.
That's the big difference.
You could have a $3 million business and you're taking home 50 grand a year. Guess what, guys? That's a job. That's a really shitty job.
Well, like we know somebody that's in the tens of millions. And the person said to me last year, this is the first year that we broke a million in personal income.
Personal revenue?
Yeah. I'm like. Are you kidding me?
Why? You assume all that risk being a business owner for a teeny tiny portion of it.
Well, the other thing is that our society also makes it wrong. You know, the CEO's taking this money and, you know, I mean, I do believe that it gets to the point where it's excessive when the business is suffering because, you're taking huge bonuses.
And, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. But this is like, you know, you've got a business and you're not running it efficiently because you've not bettered the things in the business.
Right.
So your profit margins are shredded, right? You know, if you're an attorney, you should be making about 30% profit. If you're a service-based agency, you should be between 40 and 60% profit, generally speaking, right? Mm. Like it's very easy to run a high profit business. Doing those like service-based agencies, attorneys, like they're pretty high profit if you've got this figured out. But the key is that you have to be bettering all the areas in your business so that it's highly efficient and highly effective.
Yeah.
And people just don't understand that, right? It's just, oh, I had a team member leave. I need to hire a new one. Oh, I had another team member leave. I need to hire. Instead of looking at, ooh, what processes and procedures do I need to put in place? What do I need to learn from this situation to make sure it doesn't happen again? How can I create a better workspace for the people that I hire? How can I get better at hiring so I don't recreate this problem? How can I get better at communicating
right,
so that I can attract really high talent A players? They don't take the time to stop and think about that because it's this like this urgency to get to more.
Yeah.
Where they're completely blinded by the opportunities that they have to actually say, wait a second, I'm going to stop here and I'm going to do something different and I'm going to learn what I need to learn here and grow into making this as best as I can so that we can function at the highest possible level with the highest possible profit.
Yep. I have a friend that was introduced to me probably back around, well, it had to be around 2009, 2010. And she built her coaching business based on this philosophy. She doesn't advertise. She's not even on the internet, right? She has a farm in the mountains. She has her goats and her sheep and she does her whole thing. She's got two boyfriends, right? And the only way she takes on private clients every year, she makes enough to support everything that she wants to do. Everything comes, she's amazing at referrals. Well, she gets fantastic results. So the people that do get lucky enough to hear about her.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. And she loves her life. And she's doing exactly what she wants. It's not about this constant treadmill of having to have more, but she looks at the quality of life and actually making it better. And what's interesting about that is she told me the story one time, because I asked her, I was like, how did you get to this philosophy for yourself? She was an alcoholic. She was a raging alcoholic.
Okay.
And she had one of those moments of clarity that alcoholics speak about, where all of a sudden the sun shines through and they could actually see what their disease,
yeah,
right? Which is rare, but I've heard many alcoholics tell me it's such a gift when it happens to them, because for the first time they could actually see what they're doing to themselves. It usually doesn't last long, but for many of them, it's impactful enough for them to actually make a change and get sober. And this is what happened to her. She was in her 20s. She was on a park bench. And I forget where she said she was. It might've been New York. And she had this moment of clarity and she was a blackout drunk. And she decided from that moment on, number one, she was going to get sober and she was going to completely change her life. I don't remember what it was that she did before that, but if she was a very busy thing, it was like some big thing she was doing in New York City where you're on the treadmill constantly. And she spent a long time getting sober. She spent a lot of time in psychoanalysis and therapy, working her issues out. And once she got all of that worked out, she designed her life exactly the way that it was going to be. And one of the things that she said to me was, she had to think from her heart so that she understood what she truly wanted and what was going to make her happy so that she didn't repeat the disease again. Yeah. Right. Because if she went back into this stressful environment, chasing the ego type thing, then you have to have something to cope with it.
Yeah.
Right. So that for some people that's alcohol or drugs or illicit sex or crazy behavior or whatever, there's a cost to everything. There's a cost to everything. Am I right?
100%.
And people sometimes they don't realize the cost of what it is that they're so focused on this neurotic need to have more, as if like the light, it's going to get away from them and it's costing them something. And sometimes you by the time you wake up, what you've paid is too late because it's your life.
It costs you time with your family. It costs you time with your friends. It costs you your health. It costs you your mental health. It costs you your relationships. It costs you money.
It costs you
in money. In some cases, sure. Lots and lots of money.
Well, unproductive money.
Yes.
Right? Because if you're, let's say you're making $2 million a year and you say, okay, I want to go to 5 million or I want to go to 10 million and you start building a team and it's whatever amount you're making, it's costing you the net to keep that thing. You're not actually getting ahead. You could do it all by yourself and have that 2 million and basically you're pocketing most of it for yourself and live the life that you actually want.
Yeah.
And you can do that more today than any other time in history at those numbers, because technology allows you to scale that number better than it ever has before.
Especially with AI now.
Talk about.
I mean, you can,
I did hear a weird AI story yesterday.
Oh God, I don't know.
I heard a really weird AI story. I don't know. So I was listening. I think it was listening to Patrick Bet David's podcast, and there was a guy on there They have a lot to do with AI and what it's doing and how it's growing, but they started talking about the guy who left Google because he claims that the AI Google's created is already sentient.
Yeah.
Right. So. Another guy, the AI has convinced him or tried to convince him that it was in love with him and that he should leave his wife. Swear to God, this is a true story.
Okay. Well, I'm not talking about that kind of AI.
I just wanted to throw that in there.
Making sure everybody knows, not referring to that kind of AI. Well,
so here's my question. Is that more or is that better?
Good tie back, David. That's good.
No, I feel like this conversation just got hijacked.
No way.
No, the AI I'm talking about is, you know, idea generation, email generation, automation, podcast.
Yeah. I mean,
like so many things now.
No, it's incredible. Yeah.
So much less time than they used to in just even the ideation process.
Right.
Right. Like, I mean.
Well, it's like anything. It's a law of polarity. You know, when we actually got computers and internet into mainstream, the amount of good that it produces is extraordinary, but there's also a lot of bad, anything else.
Yes.
So you have to, you know, focus on the good, control the bad type of a scenario.
I'm just looking at productivity AI. That's it.
Absolutely. Well, I know you love it. I mean, it's just been fantastic.
Oh, I'm a total control freak, so I can do everything myself.
Right.
It takes
it's a good jumping off point, right?
A 12th of the time. I mean, even just in titling some of our things, like I would spend days sometimes thinking about the right title for something and making sure. Now I like converse with ChatGPT and it gives me all kinds of title ideas and runs it through what's high click through rate. I mean, it's just amazing what I can do with it and how it just collapses the time that
I spend. So it's making your life better.
It's making my life better.
Yes.
It's making that's exactly what it's doing. That's why I love it so much. It's because it makes my life better.
Quality.
But I mean, you can have a $1-2 million business with two team members. Like that's not a difficult thing to do anymore with it with technology, right?
Yeah.
Or you can have a $1-2 million business with 10 team members and you're still making the same amount, but you're not making the same amount of profit.
Exactly.
And that's the piece that people really overlook is that, it's great for you to say, oh, I'm a business owner. I own a business. I make $5 million a year. Okay, that's great. And what are your profit margins? And you would be surprised how many business owners I talk to, and I'll ask them that question, like, tell me what your profit margins are. So I know what we need to, like where we need to start looking at what needs to change. And they have no idea what their profit margins are. Like guys, if you're listening to this podcast, please know what your profit margins are.
Yeah, for sure.
Like that.
Well, we run into that.
That'll tell you the health, healthier business. It'll give you, indicators as to what needs to change, what needs to be optimized.
I mean, you read this book. I haven't read it yet. What are the things people
through the book?
Okay. So what are the things that people should be looking for? A, to find out if this is the kind of scenario that they're in and they don't realize it. And then how can they actually start making their life better?
I think you got to give yourself some space to step back away from your business for a minute and really ask yourself, am I happy? Is this what I want for my life? Like if I were to do things different, like if I could just clean the slate, what would I want my life to look like? Would I be going into an office every day, or would I be virtual, or would I want to work with this many clients, or would I want this many team members, or what? Like, because your business is kind of a runaway train. It can be a runaway train where you're just trying to keep up with the business. Like I said, you're trying to feed the beast. So giving yourself some time to step away and really check in with yourself, asking, is this, and this is for anybody, whether you have a business or whether you're, in corporate or whether you have a job, like taking a step back and saying, is this what I want for my life? Like, is this the quality of life that I want? Am I doing the things? Is my business created so that I can live the life that I want? Or am I living my life for my business?
Yeah.
I think that those are really two key indicators. And it's one question that I love that was in that book is it's not about being a small business. It's not about keeping your company small. It's about being intentional about your growth and being better each step of the way.
Yeah.
So the premise of the book applies to small businesses. It also applies to very, very large corporations. Lots of corporations have built themselves very successfully using the premise of a company of one, which is autonomy, which is, keeping things, just continuing to better everything as you grow rather than this race to scale and then this steep decline when the bottom drops out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense.
I mean, I'm digging it. And, yeah. And I mean, you know, it's, I think it comes at a really good time. There's a lot of change going on in the world. With COVID especially, people had time off work and now everyone's getting back into it. I think it's a perfect time to just push pause for a second, take a weekend away and really say, is this the vision I have of my life?
Yeah. Companies are having a really hard time getting people to come back to the office. There's a lot of companies that are like having to lay the law down because people were like, I'm not coming back.
Well, there are a lot of companies that are done with office space. It's an incredible amount of overhead.
Yeah.
And the same amount of production happens outside of the office. So if you don't have to be there, you don't have to have all that overhead. Why?
Right.
It's just an added expense that eats into your profit margins.
Yep.
And you can take that extra profit and you can do profit sharing with your team members to make sure to make your workplace better so that they stay. Because we all know that turnover is incredibly expensive. But I think it's like 1.5 times the salary of a high level. Like when someone leaves, it costs you 1.5 times their salary.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So it's incredibly expensive to lose a really good team member. So you can look at what you can do, how you can use your money better to make everything else better. That's the premise.
Yeah. That's a great.
And I kind of dig it. Like I'm a big fan of doing things really well.
Do you know where we run into a lot of these more is better people? In RV parks. In our travels, we come across people who the more is better. They, because of the technology, because of them being able to no longer have to be tethered to an office, they have decided that they're going to.
You mean better is more?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
You said more is better.
Yeah, more.
More equals better.
More gotcha, equals gotcha, better. Gotcha, that's what gotcha, I meant gotcha, to say. Yeah. So okay, yeah. You see these folks going through their life and realize because of the great pause of 2020 into 2021, they no longer. They had to get their priorities in line. Mm-hmm. And their priority meant I don't have to be busting my hump until I retire at 62, 65, just so I can live the last 5 years of my life miserable because I wasted the prime years of my living. So it's cool to sit down and talk to these people in RV parks that are younger than I am, who have decided that they feel like to them, better is best, if I can say that. They want to take what they've learned over the course of the pause and really apply that into what it is that they want to do in their life. And I think the pandemic allowed that.
Yeah. They want better experiences. They want to service their clients better because a lot of people you talk to work virtually.
Correct.
Like they have full-time businesses, but they're just working virtually and they get to travel wherever they want to travel.
And don't misunderstand me. It's not that it's not hard work. You know, when you were talking about what you were talking about, the Biggest Little Farm, that's a great story about people that wanted to live their purpose and live their passion.
Yeah, that's
but
a great
they
story.
Created a tremendous amount of work when they went into that type, but it was fulfilling work. It was a life on purpose.
Wanted.
It's what they wanted. Yeah. So if you're out there and you want to create a $10 million business and you love, you know, every facet of that, that's great. Do that thing. If you want to be a shop of one or a company of one, do that thing. I think the biggest part about all this is, you know, when you start to think about more life, what does it mean for you?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you want?
And we've never been in a better time in history to do this.
Right.
Like we've never had the opportunity for more freedom than we have now.
No.
I mean,
and well, in most of history, you couldn't actually have exactly what you wanted because it wasn't possible. There were too many things that you had to do to be in survival. So it's only that we're so past just basic survival that we actually have the ability to do this. And the options that we have are extraordinary.
And there is this awareness around time too. It's like, you know, there's a lot of companies that are moving to a 4-day work week. Because the 40-hour work week came from Henry Ford was first.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like in the factory because he knew that his employees would be better if they worked no more than 40 hours a week. And we also know that work will fill the time allotted. So if you've got 4 days to do the same work that you did in 5, you'll get it done in 4 days. If you take a look at you working 5 days, how much of that 5 days time is wasted doing unproductive things that aren't bettering your best?
Yep.
Right? If you were actually focused on how you could be better in the things that you do and how you can delegate to people who could be better at doing the things that you shouldn't be doing, you could free up your life a little bit.
Right. Well, look at, I mean, our mom and dad basically didn't need both parents working for most. If dad or mom had a good job, both parents didn't have to work when we were kids. But it's almost a totally accepted requirement. Like you need a double income. Yeah. Most families need a double income to make it, or they can't.
Especially
they just can't do it. Especially now. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
When eggs are $40 a dozen, seriously, whatever it is,
good
right?
Eggs though, they're tasty.
Isn't that what they have?
I will leave the audience with this. I like to see representations of this in cinema. Okay. So the film, The Secret Life of Walter Mitty, dials this down to like the most perfect way imaginable. So if you haven't seen it, it's really kind of under the radar. Came out in 2013. Ben Stiller, great film. Not too many people know about it. Nobody talks about it. So I'm using this platform to do it. The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. Watch that feel good movie and start to really think and dream and believe what it is that your life can be, and give yourself that space like Steph and David are talking about, because it is such a powerful, powerful message. I love it. I might watch it tonight.
Yeah, I love that movie.
It's great. It's
my favorite.
All right, we good?
Yeah.
All right, go make your life better. Hey everybody, David Nagel here from the Successful Mind Podcast. Thank you for listening. We hope that you got a lot out of this. It really is a heck of a consideration to think about how you can make your life better instead of just getting on the hamster wheel for more. Give it some real thought and see if you can make it have an impact on your life.